We certainly appreciate the fine job that Brother Eric Prowl did in directing our singing. Yeah, Brother Eric was on a roll this morning. I don't know what he had for breakfast, but tomorrow morning I want some of it. But you blended your voices and lifted them up in a harmonious and melodious fashion as you followed his lead. And we are appreciative of him for a fine job. We don't need any instrumental accompaniment as we sing praises to the great God of glory. Our voices, designed by the architect of the universe, are sufficient to render adequate and glorious praise to our God in heaven. And we always keep in mind that in order for our worship to be pleasing to God, it must have the right aim. We aim at worshiping God. He is the object of our worship. It must have the right attitude. It is to be in spirit. And it is likewise to have not just the right aim and the right attitude, but the right authority. It must be done in accordance with the truth of God's divine word. And I pray and trust, and I am convinced that our worship conforms to this particular pattern. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Good to be here this morning, and good to see each of you here this morning. Turn to the passage of Scripture that was read by Brother Henry Carey, and we appreciate his reading our lesson text this morning, and we appreciate the comprehensive and relevant prayer that was led by Brother Larry Reese. Now let us consider our lesson. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua and his Israelite soldiers achieved the victory. They beat, they defeated Amalek. It is interesting that Moses, Aaron, and Hur went on top of the hill, and Moses had the rod in one hand, and he held up his hands. And as long as Moses' hands were held up, Joshua and his stalwart soldiers prevailed. I don't know if you realize it or not, but if you hold up your hands for just a little while, you'll become tired and your hands will become heavy. And after a while, you will need some help in holding up your hands. You might not have experienced that, but when you get home, you don't have to do it now. Stand in front of the mirror and just hold up your hands and see how long you can hold up your hands without them getting tired. As long as the hands of Moses were held up, Israel was winning. But when his hands got heavy and tired and came down, then the enemy started prevailing. They had a problem. So they came up with the notion, with the idea, with the concept. Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, decided to help out Moses by positioning a stone and allowing Moses to sit on the stone. And then Aaron got on one side of Moses, Hur got on the other side of Moses, and they helped to hold up his hands. I don't know how long they helped to hold up his hands, but it says his hands were basically held up, and they were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua and his fellow soldiers prevailed over the enemy. And you might wonder, what does this have to do with us? Simply this: we need to hold up the hands of our leaders. The elders need to have their hands held up. The preacher needs to have his hands held up. The deacons need to have their hands held up. And not only is that true with reference to the elders and the preachers and deacons, but it is also true with reference to us, to each member. We need to hold up each other's hands. And that is another way of saying that we need to be supportive of each other. We need to help each other and encourage each other and strengthen each other by figuratively holding up each other's hands. Now, in order to hold up somebody's hands, a prerequisite is that you need to be close to them. As a matter of fact, if you're going to physically hold up somebody's hands, you need to be in close physical proximity to them. In essence, you need to be next to them. If you are next to the person whose hands you are holding up, you are able to accomplish that. I want you to focus attention on that word next. I want you to think about the word next. And I want to talk about what I call the power of the next concept. The power of the next concept. Now, next is variously defined, and we're going to use it in several different ways. It is defined as immediately adjacent, as in place, rank, or time. We speak of being next to, or adjacent to, or close to another individual. It is important that we have solid quality people next to us, adjacent to us, near us, close by us. At the very dawn of creation, when God made man, he recognized and acknowledged that man needed somebody next to him. He concluded that it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet or an help suitable for him. So he created Eve. So Eve could be next to him. Eve could operate in partnership with him. Eve could be supportive of him. Eve was in a position to carry out her primary function in their relationship by helping him. Eve was in a position to hold up Adam's hands. Adam was in a position to hold up Eve's hands. When you're getting or selecting somebody to be next to you, who's going to provide you with help and support, it is important to have solid quality people next to you. You don't want just anybody next to you. You want somebody who loves you, somebody who's committed to you, somebody who is loyal to you, somebody who wants to promote your overall welfare, somebody who wants the very best for you. Notice the quality men that were selected to go with Moses and to stand next to Moses. Aaron, the high priest, and Hur. These were quality spiritual men. And they were right there next to Moses, one on the right side and one on the left side. And they provided him with the support that he needed. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, we find the preacher of antiquity speaking. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11, he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will help up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? It's good to have somebody next to you. We need to be careful the kinds of persons we select to live and to partnership in the next two positions in our lives and relationships. We remind you again of the cogent truth contained in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You want somebody close to you, next to you, other than a fool. Yeah, you want somebody who is wise next to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and I hope this lesson is not lost on those of us who are young, our teens and our young adults. Be careful who you bring next to you. Be careful who you partner with. Be careful who you select as your friend. Be careful whom you select as your peers and as your associates. You want somebody who can help hold up your hands and facilitate your spiritual vitality and stability. You don't want nobody next to you that's going to pull you down. You don't want nobody next to you that is going to contaminate you and your values. You don't want nobody next to you that is going to diminish your spiritual growth and vitality. You don't want nobody next to you who's going to lead you into wrong paths. You know, in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You want to surround yourself. You want folks next to you that are going to be good for you and that are going to be helpful for you, that are going to be supportive of you, that are going to provide encouragement. You want somebody next to you whose values you share and whose principles you have in common. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, not just good for young folk, but good for middle-aged folk and old folk as well. Be not deceived. Don't let nobody fool you. Evil communications corrupt good manners or good morals. That was King, who probably would have been a pretty decent king had it not been for the one he selected to be next to him. And you are familiar with him, and you are familiar with his queen as well. She lives in infamy. No mother, no father will name their darling newborn daughter after this diabolical and wicked queen of antiquity. Of whom do I speak? I speak of King Ahab's wife. Notice what the divine scribe penned in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, there she is, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Oh, she was a wicked and evil woman. And Ahab allowed her to dominate him and to control him and to facilitate and encourage and promote his wicked deed and his wicked deeds and his wicked reign. as king over Israel. Stay away from Jezebels. Bring along by your side, bring into partnership with you a godly, committed, loving, devoted, loyal, spiritual-minded, virtuous woman, or virtuous man, or virtuous friend, virtuous peers, somebody who's going to help you and not hurt you, somebody who will hold up your hands spiritually. The apostles, Peter and John, were called before the authorities. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, Dr. Luke was inspired to pen the following words. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been next to Jesus. I know it says with, but it means the same thing. These authority figures, they marvel because they knew these men were not highly educated men or academically credentialed men, but they did know that these men had spent considerable time next to Jesus. They spent time, they had been with Jesus. Turn with me briefly to Mark chapter 3. And verse number 14, Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14. Notice what the record says. Mark 3 and verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. He ordained 12 that they might be with him. He had them next to himself. He spent time in close proximity to them, instructing them, mentoring them, shaping them, molding them, training them, preparing them. He wanted them next to him. He wanted them close to him so they could derive the greatest possible benefits from his training and his presence and his magnificent and magnanimous spirit. His work, his training was not wasted on Peter and John, as attested in Acts 4 and verse 13. The authorities took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. This was not done haphazardly. This was not done without the planning and the determination of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus planned it this way, that they might be with him, that they might be next to him. You know, it's so good to see folks who love each other, who are committed to each other, who are devoted to each other, having certain people next to them.
I mentioned often to Brother William Prowell that I appreciate the time that he spends with his grandsons and the time that Sister Prowell spends with the grandchildren. William seems to love having those little guys with him, next to him. And I think that it is verifiable that he's had a profound impact on their lives, the fruit of which can be seen currently and can be seen, no doubt, in the future, even to a greater degree. I was noticing just a few minutes ago, and even now, that there are certain people in this audience who are next to each other. I see Jean sit next to Rosa. I see Sonia sitting next to Tanya, providing the support, the encouragement, showing the love, the devotion. I see Dennis sitting next to Rita. I see a number of you. There's Molan Thompson sitting next to Centrice, and she's sitting next to him. But we don't have to be sitting right next to each other. It's good in order to show our devotion and to show our love and to show our loyalty and show our commitment to each other. Who do you have next to you? One of the things I have discovered is that when you have Brother Solomon, Brother Clifford, you're almost here. Come, please. So I want some strong fellas next to me. Now I'd like for you to grab hold of this left arm, Brother Cliff. You don't mind, do you? And you grab hold of this other one. Now these are two strong fellas. You want to surround yourself and have folks next to you that are strong. Clifford's demonstrating that he's strong. But now it's going to be hard for me to fall with these guys next to me. I can't fall because they're too close to me. They're not going to let me fall back. No. They're not going to let me fall forward. They're not going to let me fall either to the right or to the left, because these guys are next to me. I was talking to my lovely bride on the way to church. She's been next to me for over 36 years. That's a long time. It's a long time. But when we have people next to us that love us and are committed to us, it just makes it more difficult to fall. And I think as long as I'm surrounded by and next to fellows like these quality, committed, devoted, spiritual-minded men who love me. I don't believe I'm going to fall. And I'm speaking of falling now physically, but in a larger sense, I'm speaking of falling spiritually. The reason a lot of folk apostatize, the reason a lot of folk leave the church, the reason a lot of folk fall into sin, the reason a lot of folk lapse into a state of unfaithfulness, the reason a lot of folks give in to despair, the reason a lot of folk become victims of depression, the reason a lot of folk throw in the towel is because they don't have any strong, committed, loving, loyal people next to them.
Amen.
Like Brother Solomon and like Brother Clifford. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it. Y'all are wonderful young men. Did I say young men? Okay. But next is so important. The power of the next concept. Briefly, next also refers to succession in order of time, sequence. When we look out over the audience, when we look at the elders, our deacon, your preacher, our teachers, our parents, we have to focus on not only the current generation, but we must also be concerned about the next generation. We must be concerned about our children. We must instill the salient doctrines and principles and spiritual values emanating from the divine word of God into their hearts and into their lives. We must be concerned about teaching them, bequeathing to them the spiritual legacy that has sustained us all these many years. We have to focus on them because next they will be taking the reins of control. Little Gary Davis, what role will he play in the church? 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. Jaron Prowell, what role will he play in the church? Will he be one of our next elders, one of our next preachers, one of our next deacons, one of our next fathers, one of our next grandpas? Who will be our next generation of teachers? We have resting upon our shoulders an awesome obligation, serious responsibilities to make sure that we enrich, that we stabilize, that we fortify with the word of God our young people. Those who are coming up next. Finally, when we think about next, it is also a term that is used to arrange our priorities.
there are things that must be first. And then you arrange lesser priorities after that. Okay, first, next, next, next. Sometimes we end up reversing or inversing our priorities. We need to always make main things the main thing. We must always major in majors and not minor in majors, and major in minors. We have to have our priorities properly arranged. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these mundane, transitory, material, ephemeral things will come after the main thing. Years ago, on the Joy buses and in VBS, they would emphasize the joy concept. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. That's not a bad concept. That's based on the next principle. Who is first in your life? Who's next on your list of priorities? You can make that determination. Do you understand? Do you appreciate the power of the next concept? As we move from day to day, as we arrange our schedules, we have to determine what we're going to do first. Some people have what they call to-do lists, and they arrange their schedules to do the most important thing first, then the next important, and the next important, and the next important. If you are here in the audience today, and you are not yet a child of God, that's been a low priority item in your life, you can change that today. And after the sermon, next we'll be singing the invitation song. And then next, hopefully, you'll be making your way forward to commit your life in obedience to the Lord. If you've already obeyed the Lord but have fallen by the wayside, the next thing that you should do is to recommit your life to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you are not yet a Christian, you ought to become one today. Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. He paid the ultimate price. He gave up his life. He shed his blood. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. Next, it is your move. Believe that good news of the gospel, how he died, was buried, and was resurrected on the third day.
Repent of your sins, confess your faith, submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, and you can become a brand new creation. Then you'll be next ready to live a faithful and committed life for the Lord. Your move is next as we together stand and as we sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. To Jesus, I